Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 176 of Getting It Out podcast. That was Earn with the Palace of Devils and Wolves. And I got to tell you, usually I listen to this shit before I play it here, but that was literally the first time I heard this band. And I was fucking blown away by that track because, you know, the For Fans Of sounded cool enough to me. It said For Fans Of 80s Metallica, Mastodon, and Alice in Chains. And I don't know that I heard much of that going on in there except for a little crossover, but it was fucking awesome. I love that. These guys are from London. They're a trio. This is just a single, The Palace of Devils and Wolves. It came out June 4th, so just the other day. And it's off of their June 25th released album, Serpent and Spirit, coming out on Candlelight Records. So be on the lookout for that. Lots of cool stuff in that sound. They describe it all sorts of ways, and they throw in a lot of bands that I didn't necessarily hear. So I'm not going to do that to you. You can discover it organically without any additional input. Check them out, Earn, U-R-N-E. Speaking of organically awesome, this episode includes an interview with the fellas in Catan. Those two fellas, their names are Nick Thornbury and Brett Boland. You might know them from some other projects they did, and you'll hear all about that when we have our conversation and you intently listen in. We, of course, are discussing their brand new EP, self-titled EP that just came out on Prosthetic Records. It's available everywhere at this moment, so run quickly, go get it. But first, finish listening to this episode. Let's do the best crossover thrash band ever from New Jersey that made an intro song for Getting It Out podcast. This is Hot Zone.
Yeah, what's good, all you bitches and bitchettes? It's the illustrious Hot Zone back at it again with another podcast intro. They said, oh, you want to do a podcast intro for the Getting It Out podcast? I said, oh, shit, I got to write a rap first, don't I? They said, no, you don't got to write a rap first. It's a hardcore podcast. I said, all right, I think I can maybe make that happen. Let's see what we can do. Kick it. Make family out of friends. Make friends out of enemies. Peace to my family. Make friends till they bury me. All the places we've been. We're never sitting it out. We be getting it in. Where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been. We're never sitting it out. We'll be getting it in. Where you getting it out? Get in and out. Alright, motherfuckers, you're in the right place at the right time. Rest in peace, Jay Money, and LFTW forever.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is a beautiful day. I did some things today, and I'm exhausted. I'm totally exhausted. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I ran 7 miles. I did a very, very bad rough run of 7 miles. It might even have been some walking at the end. I'll tell you that, and I don't like to admit that, but usually if I walk, I disqualify the whole thing. But I thought, you know what? It's 80-some fucking degrees, and the sun is beating down because I stupidly ran in an area where there would be like no shade for miles. It was a very dumb idea. My bald head, I guarantee you, is burnt to a crisp at this point, and that's okay, I guess. But I got it in early today, and I've been exhausted ever since. I'm run down. I'm beaten to nothing. But I did just wash my car for the first time in like 4 years. Why do people wash their cars? That's a question that I'd like to know. I washed my car for the first time in like 4 years. It looks relatively the same. Maybe that's because I don't wash it at all. Maybe it's because I don't care about automobiles. I was actually considering buying a new one in the near future, but I don't think I'm going to do that. I think I can just ride this one out until the wheels fall off, as I've always intended to. It's a 2010. It's only 11 year old things aren't that old. It should make it a little farther, right? 175,000 miles, I think I got on it so far. This past year where I didn't drive like dick, really helped. I only put like 9,000 miles on it in a year, and that's down from the usual 20 I was doing. So that's pretty good. It looks all right. It's a little beat up. It got hit a couple times that I didn't get it fixed from because I don't care, and it works anyway. That's my I wash my car anecdote for this episode. Why do people wash their cars though so much? What happens? I mean, my inside, I realized I had some Skittles grind into the carpet on my driver's side, and I don't mind that. I love Skittles.
you know, keep some around for extra. I'm not going to eat it. I just like knowing that it's there. It's a little comfort. Comfort food, right? That's what they call Skittles. That's what I call Skittles. World's greatest candy. Anybody who says otherwise is plainly, they're wrong, okay? They're probably going to say something chocolatey. Chocolate's not really a candy, okay? That's sweet, but it's not candy. It's not what I consider candy. Let's not go down this road. Let's not have this conversation because Brett and Nick and I are going to talk about disgusting things like McDonald's and just, I don't know, disgusting riffs that they wrote for Catan. Have you heard this EP yet? It's awesome. It's been out for a few weeks. It's on Prosthetic Records. It's self-titled, so you don't have to think very hard about it. And it's different. To prove it to you, I'm going to play a song from that EP right now. I'm going to play the first song. This song is called Erase. And then we'll get right into my chat with Nick and Brett. Enjoy.
Bye.
are Nick Thornberry and Brett Boland, right? Did I pronounce those names correctly?
That's it.
All right, now, those were the easy ones. How do I correctly pronounce the band name?
It is Catan.
All right, that's what I was going to say. I just got to go with my gut, you know?
There you go. Right. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
What is this word? Where does this come from?
It comes from, I stole it straight from a Star Trek episode. Star Trek The Next Generation episode.
Okay, that's what
like
Google...
A true fucking nerd.
That's what Google told me, and,
it was right.
You know, I've learned to never doubt Lord Google, except for one time I used to do this, this little game on here on this podcast where I'd have people on and I'd spell them words and then they would have to say it back to me correctly. And we would go by the official ruling was Google pronunciation.
Oh,
and,
sure. That's correct.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know what's going on with Google, but he tried to say, or he, she, I don't know what, you know, I don't want to put a Google in a gender, but they said, accoutrement. Wait, that's the word. All right, accoutrement. They Google right. said it's a accoutrement, and as funny as I think that is, I don't think that's correct. So that's when I started not believing the things I find on the internet.
Yeah, that sounds like a good reason.
Yeah.
Wait a second. I believed every single thing I read on the internet until now.
Until I heard.
That's how I
read.
Yeah. Is this this episode of that show I was just watching, and I don't even think I was like looking for a band name or anything like that at the time, and I just saw it's like this kind of like super, I mean it's a cheesy, you know, 90s or late 80s early 90s show, right? But
yeah.
I always think like I'm like, yeah, this kind of some like super dark like backstory stuff going on in a lot of these things, and this episode was about like Picard like living this whole other like life like in his mind basically, and then it was about this planet that had died like 10,000 years ago. I'm like, yeah, that's fucking depressing, so that works for me. that's what I'm going for.
So Picard, I'm not good with Star Trek at all.
Yeah.
That does that mean it's is that Next Generation? Is that the bald guy?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
That's all I know too.
My brother was really into that, and I remember making fun of him for it. But I wasn't into much cooler stuff, so you know it wasn't really fair. But
no, I'm full like I'm aware of who I am and what I'm into, so it's all good.
A little self awareness never hurt anybody.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you can be as fucking nerdy as you want as long as you like can also be a semi well rounded person, which I hope I am. Like I used to be a mechanic forever, you know. I do normal shit. So I hope like I'm like as long as you don't let like the nerdiness completely take over your life, I think it's okay.
Yeah, but unfortunately most people can't find that balance, but that's okay. I'm a little bit familiar with both you guys in your previous bands or current. I don't know what's current or what's not. Nick, I really liked Vatnet Viskar, or I guess you were just Vatnet then. And I don't know if I was ever saying that correctly too, by the way. But it sounds pretty like, close.
We always pronounce it like that, but it's like Swedish, so I think if you want to be real technical about it, it's probably Vatnet Viskar, but I'm not Swedish, and so I just didn't say it like that.
Yeah, I just had on Per Wiberg. From, you know, he was in Opeth, and who's like one of my favorite bands. And I tried to like really figure out how to say his name correctly, and I just can't, you know. It's just something I'm just not capable of it. Like I have this terrible, yes, too ignorant. And it's funny because my wife is from Europe. She's from Italy, so she can easily say all these names from all sorts of countries, and like it's no problem. And you just got me over here just mumbling through. You know.
We do our best.
Yeah.
We try.
Yeah. Come on, we're new-ish country, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give us some time.
Exactly. I've been stuck at home for a year. Everything's off. So the name comes from Star Trek, but when you guys have been doing other bands, Brett, you, Astronoid, what else do you got going on? There's a couple things, right?
Me?
Yeah.
It's mainly just Astronoid and this, and then I do some production work for some bands, And I did a record. There's this like really good death metal band called Mourned that I've worked with. They're on Maggot Stomp, and just like random shit. And I'm always doing stuff on my own, so
nice.
I have other things planned. But those are the two, like Catan and Astronaut, are the two main things at this point.
Gotcha. All right. So when did Catan begin? How did you, and I guess I should rewind or go back a little farther than that. How did you two begin working together?
So we've been friends for probably like 10 years now or something. And so it kind of started through VetNet, actually. We, like early VetNet, Brett worked, with a couple of the guys in the band. And, you know, we had like a lot of mutual friends, and we had like recorded this 2-song demo at my place, and we're like, oh, we need someone to, like, I think we can record this like okay, but we sure as shit can't mix it, so we need to find someone to like at least make this sound somewhat presentable.
I thought I had it on my shelf over here.
I got it somewhere, yeah. And like, and you know, Brett came up and we were super impressed, and then I don't know, we saw his band at the time, Hetfield and VetNet, we played a bunch of shows together and just kind of been exchanging members and hanging out and doing whatever since then. So that's how that started. But then after I left VetNet in like 2016, like, yeah. I think I always planned on writing more music at some point, but it eventually happened, and then it wasn't even really like a question. I'm like, Brett, I need you to play drums and record this, please.
And I said okay.
that's why you need those connections. That works out perfectly.
But I wouldn't. And this may sound shitty, but I wouldn't have done it if I didn't like it. So.
No, that doesn't sound shitty. That sounds legit.
I was just, you know, he sent it over to me, and I'm like, okay, let's check this out. And like, I was like, this is pretty cool. And
I was like, tell me if this sucks.
And I thought that I could do something with it that was a little different as well. Because I know what Nick has done in the past, and I know like what I am good at, like, you know, I have my thing and
sure.
He has his thing, and I was like, let's try to do this and like not just black metal it out and have just blast beats over every song and try to make these like a bit more like primal and a bit more just interesting rhythmically from the drum part, you know, and from the drum and bass perspective. So and I think it worked out, and I love it. I think it came out really well.
Even though when I'm writing guitar parts, all I can hear in my head is blast beats, but not because I want blast beats there, it's just because I can't drum or come up with drum parts. I'm just like, yeah, I don't know, blast beats.
That's funny. I was recently talking to somebody about people who don't know how to drum, like myself. Like I think drumming is like the most complicated thing on earth. I don't know how anybody could ever do it. And we're just talking about the way people who can't drum program drums, and it's just interesting to me if we can get any, if I wanted to program drums, if I could get anywhere close to what would sound like what would actually be played, and I think there's no way, like there's no fucking way, like I can't even get close when I tap on something. There's no way I could program it.
Right, that's why I don't even bother trying with that, because of that reason. Exactly. I'm like, no, I'm going to send some programmed drums to Brett, and he's going to be like, what the fuck are you doing?
I think you need to understand, like, how the limbs work on the drums. And if you can get that, and you can understand how fast your right hand can move, like, physically, you know, not like a robot,
right.
I think you'd be okay, you know? But like I hear some of these like programmed drums on records, and I'm like, this guy has fucking 10 hands, and he's like, there's 10,000 toms being hit at the same time, and it's pretty ridiculous. But I do some programming sometimes too. But I have an electric kit that I do all my demoing with. It's a lot easier for me.
Yeah, but you know what you're doing too.
Yeah, you got
playing drums for my whole life. Yeah, so. I started there. That's my starting point.
I was in a band with an electric drum kit once for one night.
But you were in the band for one night?
For one night. We played one show for one night. It was our practice too, and it was our only show because a friend of mine, I called a friend of mine and I said, I see you booking a show on this date, I think you should have my band play. And he's like, okay, great. Yeah, who's in your band? Like, I don't know yet. Well, whoever's there when we get there is who's in the band. And
that sounds like a guitar.
Yeah, it was. We had a real drummer, an electronic drummer, somebody on the recorder. We had a guitar that was plugged in, a guitar that wasn't plugged in. And I did vocals, and we successfully evacuated the bar as we played.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, it was a good time. But that's my electronic drum anecdote.
Electronic drums. All I think of is that Zao album, the self-titled.
Yep.
The whole album is which electric one is drums.
It? Which one is that?
Is the that one with 5 Year Winter and stuff.
Trash can hands.
Burn it down and walk away. Mm. The big one back in the day.
Yeah,
yeah, big album. I fucking love Zao.
They were pretty popular around here in Pennsylvania, but I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. From Pennsylvania?
Yeah, like Pittsburghish area, not quite somewhere around there. Yeah, yeah. Cool. But they just put out a decent record themselves too. But anyway, enough about Zao. So did you guys know the primary musical direction you wanted to take this thing? Is this just what happened with Catan is what happened with Catan?
That's it, I think.
Yeah, this is just what, I mean, like, I just started writing just because I wanted to and just kind of, like, see what comes of it. You know, trying to, like, not be exactly Vaidnava Vizhakar, but also, like, not... I know my limitations and capabilities. I'm not going to, you know, start trying to write a pop album or something like that. I'm just like, oh, let's just fucking write and, you know, be conscious, make it a little different and see what comes out of it. And a lot of hours spent into that.
Did you really try to make it different, though? I'm sorry to be now interviewing you, but like...
Oh, probably.
Did you try? Because I know when I try to do something different, like, or I try, like, it. If I write, you just naturally progress. And that's, from my perspective... I think it's more of that. Wrote and you're in a new place.
Yeah, I do think it ended up being more like that, because anytime I try to write a certain way, it never happens. Like I said, Vetnet started like basically not trying to rip off Wolves in the Throne Room, but like try to like something like that. I'm like, oh, I want to start a band that sounds like Wolves in the Throne Room. They're sick, and then it just kind of turned into its own thing. So like you can't help like your whatever you're currently being influenced by, whatever. You know, it just gets subconsciously stuck in the back of your head. It always works its way in, I think, which is great, because who wants to just make another band that's the same as a band that already does what they do? I would say totally natural. Now, I think at this point, I kind of have a better grasp of what it is, like after this EP was done being written and stuff. But the time is kind of just a... go with the flow.
Yeah, well, I was going to comment that I can hear the similarities between Vatnet and this, but it's not the same thing, obviously. But I've seen Catan kind of loosely categorized as death metal. There's certainly a lot of death metal in it, but I wouldn't call it just a straight up death metal band. There's plenty of progressive elements. It's a lot of melody. What do we call the atmospheric parts? But I guess like it's like what you're saying. It's just kind of part of your thing, and there's an evolution to it. This was recorded back in what 2019?
Yeah, just like.
So what is? First of all, I guess a couple questions from that. Then what took so long to get it released, and with what you're, I assume, writing with Catan now? Does that sound the same?
Well, so it took so long, I guess, is a combination of just regular life shit. So Brett's got Astronoids, obviously very busy. I probably around that, maybe like 6 months before that, started a new job. It's getting super fucking crazy busy and everything like that. So it's kind of like trying to figure out that balance a little bit. And then also just we weren't in a rush to do this. Like I specifically had said from day one of this, I'm like, I want this to be exactly like we want it. I do not want to rush this. Like I probably said this in like every fucking interview so far, but I'll say it again, is that like I read an interview with Ghost like years ago, and is a quote from him saying basically something to the effect of like, well, oh, well, we were a band for 2 years before we announced we were a band. And I was like, that is good, because like they got their shit together before like they went like public with this. And I just thought that was great and really like appreciated that. And I'm like, you know what? I did the grind with VetNet. We played a lot of shows. We toured a lot.
We've learned a lot.
We've learned a lot. Right. And I'm like, I just don't need to be fucking, I'm not like we're above that. Like, I never want it to sound like, oh, I don't want to play these small shows and this and that, but it's not what this band is trying to be. I want this to be like a super professional from day one. Yeah. Like, you know, this is like planned out and everything. And as far as the new stuff we're writing, I'd say it, again, probably like a natural progression. Like, it sounds, yeah, similar, but hopefully better.
Right. Well,
I'm looking at the tracks right or the sessions right now, and we started recording this in June 2019, and then pretty much what happened was there's some Astronoid tours from September on, and then the pandemic,
right?
And pretty much in February, and we just kind of stalled there, and then I think I finished mixing it during that, like during the lockdowns. And then working with labels and like getting stuff out just takes time. And
sure. Yeah.
Like, especially like the vinyl, like the album's out and the vinyl's delayed. Like, it's
The vinyl pressing. He's like, yeah, it's like 7 months now to get vinyl pressed, and it still ended up getting delayed. yeah. And I was like, okay. Well.
And we were ahead of it. Like, I thought we would be able to avoid because we planned so far in advance. Yeah. But like, I don't know. It happens.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I wanted to look this up because last time it came up too. But it was June 11th, 2019, that we did the drums for this, and I'm pretty sure it was hot as fucking hell when I did those drums because the air. We remember we had to turn the air conditioner off.
I remember Brett just saying like I didn't go to the gym all week in preparation for doing these drums, and then by the time we finished, because we did it in like 2 days, the drums I think, and by the time we finished, you basically couldn't walk.
That's a good workout then. You don't need to go to the gym.
No, especially after that shit.
let's go on a workout tangent. Do either of you guys work out in any way? Are you nothing?
I do when pretty much like throughout the whole lockdown, I was pretty good about it. And then I went back to work for 4 days a week, and I did 10-hour days. And I was walking about 12 miles a day at work.
Nice.
So I was like, I would get home after a 10-hour day and be like, fucking zonked. So I didn't want to work out anymore. And then now the baby, we just had the baby on the 29th of March. And my wife and I are just, we're lucky if we sleep, never mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I need to get back at it because I'm losing weight, but
yeah,
get back up there.
I used to be good about, I used to go to the gym pretty regularly and everything, but last couple of years have been pretty slack off, pretty just I'm still like trying to figure out like the life balance thing, I think, constantly. So, and I haven't quite gotten there yet, but you know, someday. But same thing, it was funny, same thing. I'm like, how am I losing weight? I'm not doing anything. My fiance fucking hates me. She's like, what the fuck? I'm like sitting there just like eating ice cream, and she's like, I hate you.
Yeah, that's awesome though.
Freaking... Yeah, oh, I love it. It's great.
Well, the beer's been my problem, man. I jumped to like the I was doing great for the pandemic. I was losing weight too. I was losing weight before then. I was losing weight then. I'm not too bad anyway. But now I've been drinking like these super fancy, expensive, you know, big ass beers. like
that'll do it.
Like, and I just can't. Like, I can't stop, which makes it sound like a problem. But I mean, I could stop. I just don't want to.
No.
They're delicious. You know, like I'm having one now, and it's like I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to drinking light beer or even.
It's like you're drinking something hazy.
It is a it's called Bingo Pajamas Double IPA.
Yeah,
and it's. They don't have the calories on here, which I'm sure it's like 400 calories just in this one can. Yeah, But
I went to Germany with my wife, and then we went with Asteroid, and we went to the Hofbräu, like the hall, the beer hall, and like ever since I just get Hofbräu. Like,
he's just loyal.
It's my favorite beer. It's like how some people just drink Budweiser.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I had my child and now I'm a one beer man, just like everyone becomes when they have a kid.
See, I did when I had my kid. When I had my kid, I went to the light beer, and since then, now they're, you know, they're 14 and about to be 8, so now it's time to go to the, you know, the higher shelf.
They can live on their own somewhat.
Yeah, you know? They're set. You know, who needs to watch them? Good 8%ers every night. 10.
Man, last couple of years, I've kind of like got off. Like, I was drinking a lot of like heavy beers, and I kind of just like migrated to almost exclusively like whiskey and scotch.
Oh yeah, and what's your go to there? What's the best one?
Like, so I was like, let's see, whiskey. I like a rye whiskey, honestly. For like a regular, like I like rye a lot better than bourbon.
A Whistle Pig.
So for like my standard drinking whiskey, I'll have a rye. Yeah, I'll probably get like Bullet Rye or something like that. So just that's my go-to. Like I have a big bottle of that. But then I've been like slowly, like once a month or something like that, I'll go to the liquor store and just like look for some expensive bottle of scotch. I'm like, this looks expensive, and just like so like let's try this out and see how it is. And like I tried this Lagavulin one. I thought I was gonna hate it because it was like super peaty and smoky, but it was like it was so smooth that it just made up for it. I'm like, this shit is
I think I've
amazing.
Had that one. I think, yeah, it's very peaty.
Yeah, it is. It definitely tastes like you're drinking a woody barrel, but that, you know,
that's
you're
a good that's
you're
a good
looking
move.
A rock in a woods.
That's a good move. I rewatched and my wife for the first time watched Mad Men during this whole thing, so it got me on I was
doing
the same
thing.
Well, you do it, and then
Where can I watch
it? I think it was on Netflix. Okay. It was. I don't know if it still is. But
the internet exists. It's somewhere.
Yeah, but
I won't use it. I won't look it up.
But oh, that's good. I know. I love that. I love that. I will not do it. I will not use Google.
No, I'm gonna bug. I'm gonna bug everyone I know and ask them questions before I Google anything.
that's the way. Well, there used to be that thing. Send people. Here, let me Google that for you, and it would.
Oh man, that was so good. Just telling my fiance about that the other day, or like the thing in forums that you could like it would like grab the hand away from like the new post button.
We'd nerd out on forum talk. I could go there too. But let's get back on track because I got us way off with several things. It started out working out, and then it became drinking and then forums. So let's go back to your band. Let's do the prosthetic thing. How did the prosthetic come about? Where this record just came out on Prosthetic Records. How did you get hooked up there? Is this from past bands? Where does Prosthetic Records come into play?
Yeah, so I was like very kind of interested to see with this whole process. I'm like, well, we like worked our asses off with, you know, Vatnet, and Brett's still working his ass off with Astronaut and stuff like that. I'm like, let's see if any of this pays off now. But so there's this guy, Steve Joe, who's like A&R for Prosthetic, and he was A&R for Century at the time that Vatnet got signed over there, and he signed us over there. So he is an awesome, awesome dude, and probably one of the only people who I kind of like still keep in touch with semi-regularly from those days. Yeah. So it was not really a question. I was like, well, I'm gonna send it to him, see what he thinks. Like, you know, maybe we'll go with Prosthetic, maybe we won't, maybe they won't even offer us anything, who knows, you know.
Just but, a shot in the dark there.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, well, hey,
everyone, yeah,
yeah, let me see, because I mean, we were ready to, like, especially it being an EP, we're like, well maybe, you know, we'll just self-release it or see if some small label wants to do it or something. But yeah, I sent it to Steve, and he's like, oh, I really like this. We don't really do EPs, but, you know, I could probably, you know, find something to help you out, and then, you know, we'll talk full length. And then apparently the other people at Prosthetic liked it enough to just full on release the EP. I was like, all right, well, that's good. We'll take it. And I really, really like working with Steve, and I trust him to not screw us over, which is probably like the biggest thing.
Right.
So, it's been very nice so far. You know, just pretty laid back. They help us out, and happy to have the opportunity. Really.
You know, I've heard similar stories regarding prosthetic over the last. Over the last year, I had a who was it? Sermon. I don't know if they're still on prosthetic, but Sermon, a cool prog band out of England, and same kind of deal. Well, actually, without even any kind of ties, they just sent it out there and they said, "Fuck it, we'll do it." And then there's other things on the other spectrum of prosthetic, like ACXDC, which is, you know, just fucking power violence and prosthetics right. doing that. Just, so I think I've been real impressed with the roster of the label lately. And I was listening to you guys just and this I think this is obviously a thing that this to me this is what labels are best for now as a listener. Is that I see something that comes out on prosthetics, so I'm going to listen to it. I don't know if I was going to listen to Catan before that. I just saw that it was a new release on Prosthetic Records, so I'm going to fucking check it out. And luckily I did, and I really liked it. And
that's really cool to hear, because that's how it used to be.
Right.
Right.
And then we went away from that. And I'm hoping that maybe labels can become that sort of like, you know, like I love movies from A24. I'll watch anything that A24 puts out. I'll watch almost anything Blumhouse puts out. You know, it's just like, I like those production houses. And it used to be like, I used to listen to everything that came out on Trustkill when I was in high school. Everything that came out on Victory Records. I listened to everything that came out on Relapse at that time with like Dillinger and all that shit. So it's like, I want to go back to that because that was awesome. And
yeah, you'll at least like check it out.
Yeah, and like when the, I feel like over the past X amount of years, maybe like the past 10 years, it hasn't been a label-oriented business anymore. Well, it is, you know what I mean? Like labels still exist and they do their thing, but like people don't go follow labels. But now like these underground labels are coming out, like Maggot Stomp, like I said, and like there's a bunch of like desert rock labels and like all these doom, like awesome little like pockets, and it's cool that that's coming back, and it's almost easier for these labels to put out music and then like kind of garner these small like relationships with these like little pockets of genres, and it's so fucking cool that it's coming back.
Even like when we were starting VetNet, like, you know, you see all the like quote unquote like cool metal labels, you know, starts, you know, or I guess Gilead isn't really like a label, but you know, I'll lump them in there, but you know, Profound Lore and Southern Lord and all these labels and stuff like that, I'm like, yeah, they're like, or Sergeant House, like all these labels that are just like grabbing up every like cool like hip metal band they can, and I'm like, yeah, that's like smart. And then I guarantee you, same thing, like probably there's probably plenty of bands I listen to from, you know, those labels at the time that I never would have checked out otherwise, but I'm not cool enough for a lot of that shit. So,
Season of Mist, another good one.
Season of Mist is a lot of variety too, but and I think that's a thing like prosthetic. That's what I'm saying. That even like, I mean, you're talking about Profound Lore or, you know, all those that you just listed. I feel like I kind of know what I'm going to hear there. I'm probably wrong, but I feel like I probably know what I'm gonna hear, when I listen to the stuff that's coming out on there. But like prosthetic and the others that there, it was just some, it might be different and but it will still be good. I got trust in that. But with
prosthetic has always been very eclectic. Same with Relapse, and like I kind of
Relapse might take the cake as far as eclectic.
Well, Relapse is all over the place. I don't know how I was thinking about this the other, or I was talking to my friend whose band's on Relapse the other day about how I don't know how they possibly keep track of their release schedule. It's so constant for so many years. It's so many records. Yeah. How do you even stay on top of that? I don't know, you know, like as soon as one's out, there's four more. It's impressive, but it's a lot.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Nothing. I love Nothing, and
shit,
it's awesome. It's awesome. Well, my point is, it's awesome that Nothing can be on the same label as Dillinger
and Mastodon,
and Genghis Tron and all that shit. That Genghis Tron record is so good.
The new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's very good. So, all right, let's go back to you guys. Is this meant to be a studio project, or is this going to be a band that actually exists outside of the record?
I I think we're going to play shows. We just want to make sure that when we do, we can like just put our vision out there and make it a good show, you know. But we're really in no rush to do that stuff. And in terms of other like members and what we would do, like we know enough people who would love to play, you know. So
got them lined up.
Yeah, they're, it's called Astronoid, probably. Yeah. Hey, guys, you busy Friday? We got a show. Learn these songs.
But, we're really lucky to have a bunch of friends that can do this shit. So
I would be, like, I'm fine with working on studio shit, and then I'm, like, I would love to play it live one day. I think it would be really fun. But, like, you know, Nick's busy, I'm busy, so we'll see, you know.
Yeah. I think it's like it's definitely the plan, but yeah, like you said, like I said before, it's not like we're above small basement shows or something like that. But this project is not going to do that. Just not
arenas only.
Arenas only. Yeah, if we're not opening for that goddamn Rammstein tour next year, it just got postponed. Then I'm calling it quits.
That's a good move.
We need fog machines, man. We just need fog machines. Wherever fog machines can happen, we will play.
Not
Boston. So you just need anywhere but Boston.
You need an electrical outlet, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot. That's right. We can't use fog machines in Boston, right?
Yeah. No.
You have like some crazy like venue license or something.
What's up with Massachusetts? Why do you guys always got weird ass rules? Like, wasn't tattooing illegal until like yesterday?
Oh man, I don't know. I think I live in I'm in New Hampshire, but I'm like right on like the border is like in my backyard to Mass. So like, all my tattoos have been in New Hampshire, so I'm not sure.
I lived in Massachusetts like my whole life, but now I live in Connecticut like a true asshole.
So. Yeah, you must be rich.
I am absolutely rich. That's why. that's why I'm in this concrete. I live above a machine shop.
Yeah, but a Tesla dealership. Is that what you mean?
We are. I am in that area, though. Yeah. I am in New Canaan, Norwalk, like that, like uber rich area, because my wife works for NBC Sports full time, and so we moved there. We moved here for her to take that job.
That's awesome.
And then I just, you know,
it's definitely what I think when I go to Britt's apartment. I'm like, wow, Britt's so rich. Look at this paint peeling off the walls.
Yeah.
Hey man, it's Connecticut. It's Connecticut.
It's a pretty big place. Like we recorded the album here. So I live above a machine shop, and it's like a pretty big apartment, and it's like 15-foot high ceilings, and we recorded drums. It's a loft. Yeah. So we recorded drums in like the main area of the house or the apartment. So it's perfect for myself and my wife. Like we're pretty artsy fartsy people. So we're into it. So we're going for space over luxury. And most people around here want the luxury, so we lucked out and got a pretty cool place.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know if I've ever like been in Connecticut other than to drive through, but I just like pretending that it's only rich people. So
yeah, I don't know if I've ever really spent much significant time there besides at Brett's apartment and the immediate area, the McDonald's across the street.
This particular area is pretty weird. I don't know.
You mentioned McDonald's. There's a McDonald's across the street. What is your go-to order at McDonald's?
Mine's Brett. Double cheeseburger, McChicken, and a fry.
Dollar menu guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think I usually just get like a couple cheeseburgers, shitload of nuggets, and maybe some fries.
Oh, so you should be living in Connecticut then, Mr.
Rich. Yeah. Although somehow I'm like, didn't this cost like $4 when I was a kid, probably? Or at least I imagined that, and now it costs like $12 and like to make me full at McDonald's. I'm like, what the hell? All right.
Maybe on payday I'll get a number one. You know, I'll get the Big Mac meal and really spend really. That Connecticut money.
Yeah, it goes far. I feel like at one point in my life, the thing that I said, that there was three things that I probably said the most. It was yes, it was no, and it was McDouble, no pickle. And that was, you know, that. But now it's been a long time. I can't tell you the last time. But
you know, like there's the a worst. Difference between a McDouble and a double cheeseburger.
Of course I do. It's one piece of cheese.
Yeah. It's insanity. Why the fuck is there a difference?
It's like a 50 cent piece of cheese, you know? That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, they don't have McDoubles here in Connecticut.
I think they got rid of them. I think they've been...
They only have double cheeseburgers. Because if you can't afford the double cheeseburger,
get
they
out.
Don't want
it. Yeah.
They actually kick you out of the drive-thru line. You just like, get the fuck out.
I believe it, man. It's fucking Connecticut. But all right, so enough about McDonald's. I think we've covered all we can about McDonald's and probably Connecticut. But what?
You can continue on McDonald's. Like, you have to remember, you're talking to two guys who have toured a lot. So this is
okay.
A lot of McDonald's.
All right, well, fine.
There was one day we went to KFC Taco Bell. Me and the other guy in Astronaut. Nick, were you there?
I don't know. Maybe.
You would know. So we had like the big box meals from KFC Taco Bell. We got like everything. And then after we had dessert, we got cheeseburgers from McDonald's across the street.
Was this one KFC Taco Bell? Is that like where they have the buffet?
Oh no, I've never seen that.
Well, it's a little deceiving. It's a little deceiving because it's not like there's a Taco Bell buffet. It's like
usually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
I remember from college. Yeah, but I can't.
All right, that's a
Well, no. So
you started this, Brett.
Yeah. So all right. So for a guy who's only been East Coast, I've been Baltimore and I've been Pennsylvania. That's it. I know McDonald's is everywhere. You guys have toured all over the place. So, like, we got Hardee's down here, but that's not a thing everywhere, right? It's also Carl's Jr. Right?
Yeah, it's like Carl's Jr. out west, and then up here we don't even have it.
We don't have it. No. It stops, I think, where you are. I think it hits.
Yeah, probably. I feel like, yeah, Pennsylvania, Maryland.
It's
that seems like the cutoff. Once you get to like New York and shit, everything just stops, I think.
We have a Duchess in Connecticut, like right down the street.
I've never
even heard of it.
A Duchess?
Yeah, dude. They have everything on the menu is the Big D.
Wow.
Blank.
Wow.
The Big D chicken. The Big D double cheeseburger. The Big D. I think there's one called the Big D, like, dog. It's like a hot dog or a wiener. I don't know. It was. I was like, That's too good.
That's all I can think of.
I know. Of course, there better be a hot dog on that menu.
All right, but okay. All right. Well, let's get off of fast food. Brett, for you, for Astronoid, who I'm not as familiar with as I am with VatNet, but I am familiar. It's not as heavy as Catan, right?
Right.
So was this? Have you done other bands, you know, this heavy, or is this the heaviest thing that you've done?
I think this is the heaviest thing that I've done that I've put out, for sure.
Yeah, Brett listens to more like the heaviest, like, craziest shit than anyone I know, I think, which is funny because I guess like you just listen to Astronoid and you don't think that, but it's definitely true.
No, I love heavy music. It has been my favorite forever. Like you mentioned that Power Violence band and I immediately saved it because I love that shit. Like the Locust is one of my favorite bands of all time. But I just love that shit. And I've always written heavy stuff, but I've never had the group of people, like Nick said, like I've never had the group of people that would want to play it with me.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like, I would even say that Catan isn't as heavy as I would like to do. You know, I think it would be a lot of fun to be in just like a really disgusting metal band, like Morbid Angel type stuff, like DSI type stuff. And I would have a ball doing that shit.
Could you fully commit though? I mean, I feel like if you're in
like I would love to do it. I have an album that I have, like, I'm almost like it's pretty much done, and it's I just need to record vocals for it, but I don't have anyone to do it, and I can't do it, but maybe one day it'll come out. But it's heavier than Catan. Would you say it's heavier than Catan, Nick? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's weird, but we'll see. Maybe one day. It's like a mixture of Portal and like other stuff. like in that. But it doesn't sound quite like a leaf blower. So
right, yeah, there.
Yeah.
A power washer, Brett.
More of a power washer than a leaf blower.
Oh, well, power washer is way more satisfying, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know if you, I mean, it doesn't sound like you have a lawn, but when you do, when you get to power wash the sidewalk, that's way better than leaf blowing it.
I love mowing the lawn, so.
Yeah, I just got done mowing the lawn. Let me tell you, and I use the leaf blower, but it doesn't compare to the first week of spring when I got to power wash the fence. That's the real deal. And now you just became a dad, so you need, this is important. Right?
Like, I know. I need to go. You know, there's a fence that shares with the neighbor. Maybe I'll just go start power washing their fence.
Dude, go rent one and then power wash it. Is you'll be
just be out there with a beer with no shirt, like
yeah.
So Uncle Eddie, like when he's emptying the shitter.
That's the way to go. All right. So Catan, the EP came out on May 7th. It's self-titled. What's that about?
Couldn't come up with a name.
I think it's mostly, well, I guess it's kind of an introduction. And then also, I hate writing lyrics. I hate naming. It's so fucking hard. It's, but easily for me, the hardest part of the whole thing is like, I don't know what to write about. Just naming the band is hard enough, you know?
Yeah, like name the band.
Yeah. You know? And like, song names I don't think are that bad, but like, yeah, I don't know. Nothing jumped out at me as like, this needs to be called this. And this is kind of like a loose collection of songs, like thematically, I would say. So nothing, no like big overarching concept besides just fucking depressing. yeah, I don't know. We'll have something for when it comes to album time. And it won't just
Catan
be like
too.
Baroness, like colors. Or yeah. The numbers or whatever.
I love that. I think that's
really it's great. I just couldn't pull that shit. I think you got to be like really cool to pull something like that.
Well, if Baroness ever switches it up, I'm going to be really upset because
exactly,
you know, like,
yeah,
the art better not change. The name of the records better not change.
Well, he does the art. So
I know. I know, but yeah. You know, but I've got a record collection that needs to stay consistent. I'm a little annoyed that the spines are different. That's how anal I am about it. But yeah,
I agree. I'm with you.
But fuck. You, I think I kind of already asked this, but I'll try it again. I know you're not in a rush, but is there reason to expect anything more recorded from Catan in the near future now that this was done so long ago, or are you guys just riding this one for as long as you'd like? I said that really strange. Sorry.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So I was just talking to Steve at the label the other day and stuff about this, and we were kind of thinking about it because like knowing how long it takes to get, you know, things physically made and all that. I don't think it will be as long. Just gotta make sure it's good. Obviously, we're not gonna put any crap out. Hopefully, we'll think that. It's just whether you know.
It'll be crap.
But will it be, you know, well received crap? But no, I'm feeling pretty good about at least like half the stuff we're writing right now. So I think it's like it's coming together. And Brett and I have been kind of hammering away at it a little bit more lately. So I'm hoping it's not as long of a process this time, but we'll see how the world goes, I guess.
No promises. Well, but it should be quicker.
Still, it just officially came out. So May 7th, right? So what's the feedback been so far? Now it's been out almost a month, well, like 20 days.
I don't think I've seen anything like straight up bad yet.
Awesome.
Yeah.
For a brand new project from like two fucking no ones, I think it's great. You know, our bands weren't like Astronaut's not huge, and like Fatnet wasn't the biggest band ever. So like just the fact that we could put something out and have people listen to it is awesome. And
yeah,
all the stuff I've seen has been awesome. People have been really receptive to it. The thing that is so funny to me is how dark everyone has been saying it is. And
that was great.
And I just think it's so funny because it's, especially for me coming from like we're the happy metal band with Astronoid.
Yeah.
And then putting this out and then just having it be the absolute complete opposite. And like even to the point that people think that I stopped doing Astronoid, you know.
You're too upset.
What happened to that guy?
I've read that like Astronoid that I'm done with the band, and I'm like, whoa, I didn't know that.
Surprise.
Yeah, that's a surprise to me. That guy's gonna be really surprised when the next Astronoid album comes out.
Well, you know, they're gonna put it together and be like, well, money doesn't buy you happiness, because clearly this rich guy moved to Connecticut and now he's putting out
through it.
That's what the next album's
gonna be
about. I've been with the reception and I'm just pumped that we get to put out something new and people are checking it out, you know. No one has to listen to it. Like we're not fucking James Hetfield and Lars putting out a new project, or James Hetfield and fucking Kerry. You know, it's not what it is. So I'm thrilled, and I love the songs, and I'm really proud of what we did.
Yeah, I think that's the I just want to release music again. It's like there's nothing like it. I don't know why. It's just awesome. I love doing it. I love writing. And if people like it, that's just that much better, you know? Just a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling. But
yeah, it was a win for us because we like it, and it turns out some other people turn.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's. I feel like sometimes it's easy to kind of not forget or like just kind of lose sight of like how fortunate we are to be in a position that we can just start this new project and be like, oh yeah, it's on Prosthetic. Yeah, it's on, you know, it's this and that. I'm like, man, I would have murdered someone in my, you know, when I was like 18 to like, for any of this to be happening.
Just to have Prosthetic listen to it.
Oh God. Yeah. You know? And it's like, I thought about this many times, like during VetNet times, and I'm like, it's not an ungratefulness. It's just like this. It's like a natural tendency to like always look to the next thing. I think like, what can we do to make this better?
Sure.
It's not like a, because yeah,
I'm absolutely guilty. It's hard to stop and smell the roses sometimes.
Yeah.
When you're so focused on what you want to do and you're working so hard towards it, like you can really forget of like, you know, what you've done, who we've toured with, and like it could stop now and I would be like, that was awesome, you know. Yeah, that ride was great, like all the bands I've toured with, all the people I've met, all the friends I've made, and all the music I've made. It's like, cool, it could stop right now and I'd be happy, but you know, I'm insatiable.
I think I peaked when we VetNet did a tour with Dillinger, and I was like, oh, you know, that band I've been listening to since I was in middle school, no big deal. Like, and I'm just like, I basically said the same, like, yeah, I think I could just, like, if our van crashed on this tour, I think that's fine. I'm okay with that. This is a fine way to go out, you know?
The van flip tour. Well, speaking of VetNet, I gotta ask you, Nick, were you by any chance the overly enthusiastic member of that band?
So that band, it started out with me and Chris, the other guitarist, just kind of on a whim.
I gotta know, what do you mean by overly enthusiastic?
Okay, yes, that might help. I remember seeing you guys with, I want to say maybe it was a Paul Bearer Tombs tour.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's a tour.
In Baltimore at the Metro Gallery. And I remember somebody from VetNet, it was you or the other guy, who was just going ape shit the entire time. And I remember one of my friends looking at me and going, does this guy like know what type of music he's playing? Like, it just like didn't fit. It didn't fit.
I bet my life it was Casey.
It could have been Casey. It could have been, I don't know.
How long was his hair?
I don't remember long hair.
Trying to think of that show.
I remember a beard and short hair.
That might That was probably me. I might have jumped off something, I think, at that show. Actually, I only did it a couple times. So this must have been right around when we toured with Dillinger, too, because then I'm like, I'm going to jump off shit now. But I was thinking, like, we always said, like, I don't know, it was, like, funny because I used to be, like, freaking metalcore hardcore kid back in the day and this and that. And I always just loved bands like Dillinger, whoever, that were, like, just, I'm like, they're so fucking into it. They're going so crazy. They're just nailing it. And just like the energy. And I think a lot of us in the band were like that, like came from that sort of background. So, I think that you'd see that creeping in sometimes, you know? Yeah.
It might've been you. And I'll have you know, I bought a shirt that evening with upside down David Cross on it.
Ooh, yeah.
And
I don't even have one of those.
Well, I literally just sold it on eBay for 99 cents. So, not because I didn't like it, but because I don't need to wear a 2X anymore.
Well, so yeah. I was going to say, I think I found a couple the other day, and it's only like, I have like, okay, a 2X and then like another. I'm like, I wear like a medium to large. And I'm like, yeah, I ain't going to fucking.
I have a small that you could have that you gave me.
Oh, I don't think that'll work either.
That's just motivation. Okay. You got it.
Yeah, right.
Just become a stick.
If I could fit into a small, I think I'd be a little undernourished.
Thanks.
Yeah, we all have. We're all born with our limitations. You know, some people are just a small.
Yep, just a tiny boy in a 32-year-old man's body.
Yeah. Well, guys, I don't know where to leave this off at, but. Do we miss anything important here with Catan, with this EP, with Prosthetic? It came out on May 7th. We got that. Obviously, okay. I know what I should ask. What I like to ask, at least. Where is the best place for people without because like obviously you're not touring right now. There's nothing lined up. But where could people go to buy Catan related things, the album, where you can actually benefit from it?
So that would just be catanband.com. That's buying it from us
directly.
So, obviously that helps us more. Right. Wherever, if you they stumble across it somewhere else, great, go for it. You know, I just want people to listen to it. We'll probably, we don't have much merch to speak of right now besides the EP itself, but we're getting rolling with that. So we'll probably have some, normal band shit soon, shirts and whatnot. I gotta tell you, just being two people, it's a lot easier to make decisions on designs and things like that. So
that's why I do this alone, man.
Yep. it's not a bad thing.
No, it's much easier with less heads in the game. Yeah.
Yep, and if we come out with any shirts or anything like that, we have Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff, and it's Catan Band, right, Nick?
Yep.
On all the favorite social media platforms that we really love posting on.
Specifically
definitely
TikTok,
don't forget
right?
to post for like 2 weeks.
Yep.
Time.
Yeah, Nick just Nick just can. Consistently live streams on TikTok.
Oh yeah,
from the Catan account. It just talks about depressing.
Yeah, I'm so, as you can tell, I'm such a depressing person in real life. You know, I just like to, I like to carry that with me every day. You know.
Well, whatever it takes to make good music like this, I'll allow it. But hey, guys, thanks for doing this. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you having fun with me too. That's it. So I don't know. Have a good night, fellas.
Awesome, man.
Thanks. Man.
All right.
You too.
Good talking to you.
All right. Later.
All right. See ya. Take care, man.
Yep. You too.
So there you have it. That was my conversation with Nick and Brett of Catan. Great guys. Fun time. The song you just heard was Abyss from their self-titled EP, which is out now on Prosthetic Records. I implore you to go pick it up. It is fantastic. You're only missing two songs after listening to this episode, so go hear the rest of the EP. Purchase it wherever they said to purchase it. I forget where that was, but you can find it by looking up Catan Band on Google. That's become the way I search for everything. You're not going to get anything Chris Catan related if you put band in there, but if you don't, you're going to get a lot of that guy. So be warned. But that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. If you feel like subscribing, liking, sharing, whatever, all the shit that we always beg you to do on our podcast, that would be cool if you can do that. It'd also just be cool if you can go to Patreon and sign up to give me $2 a month. It'd also be cool. Actually, it'd be cooler if you just like hand-delivered me hundreds of dollars every month. That'd be much cooler. It'd be cool if the Sixers can beat the Hawks in 4 games. It'd be cool if the weather stayed like high 70s all year long. And I can't deliver any of those things, and I doubt you can either. But I can deliver you another song from Orphan Donor. I played them at the end of last week's episode. They're a project by the drummer of Secret Cutter, if that means anything to you. They're based out of Allentown, Pennsylvania. They call it Screamo or something else. I'm not sure exactly how you categorize it, and I don't care because I like it. This song is called Pendulum Grip, and it's out now, so check it out. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.